countdown towards that preseason opener against the Lions coming up in 12 days. Let's welcome into the program Will McFadden. He is senior editor of AtlantaFalcons.com. Bring us up to speed on what's going on out at Flowery Branch during training camp. Will, appreciate you taking a few minutes, and welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, John. I'm overlooking the now empty practice fields as we speak, so I'm excited to talk a little bit of football with you today.
All right, I know this, and you know this too, but just for the benefit of the audience that doesn't actually get out to camp or has never been to camp, what can you tell, if anything, you know, in terms of, you know, individual players, or maybe just kind of, Will, so much, you know, the excitement of camp, which is, you know, evident every year, but is it a little bit different with the size of the crowds returning now and the pulse of the team?
Yeah, I do think that having the fans out does lend a little bit of energy, which I do think the team feeds off of. So there is a real element to that. But I think kind of what you're asking, Ryder, what do we learn that's real, or like what do we look for that is actually kind of tangible information about the team we will see on the field in the regular season? And at this point, I mean, it's kind of individual matchups are one of the main things that I look for is, okay, particularly when you get like a Drake London against an AJ Terrell, right? But outside of that, it's kind of comparing players almost against themselves. So I think Carlos Washington is a great example here, where he has been practice squad, kind of third running back throughout his time here in Atlanta. But watching him every training camp and thinking about him now compared to previous years, I think he has taken his game up a level. And then the last little piece of it is joint practices. And that is why I think we all put so much emphasis on joint practices, because that is the first chance that you get to step outside of yourself and then go up against one of the other 32 teams in the league. So there's only so much we can learn, especially right now before pads come on. That'll be another little important milestone, but we'll kind of get that sense. And then joint practices will be, I think, the best chance for everybody to get a feel really for what this team can do.
Yeah, do you get a sense, Will McFadden, senior editor of AtlantaFalcons.com, that the Falcons are inclined to use Michael Penix in any of the preseason games, or will it just be like the joint practices against the Titans in order to protect him? How are they going to handle that?
I truly, John, think that that is a decision still in the works. You know, we've asked Raheem about it. We've asked Jeff Ulbrich was asked about it today, and to a T, they've all pretty much said, look, every player is an individual, and we're looking at it kind of over the next couple of weeks to monitor how we feel about a player and do we need to see more of a player in some of these live actions. This is a younger team. They are, if you look kind of age on paper, they are actually, I think, one of the older teams, but the core and the crux of this team is young, and they are supported by kind of veteran depth and situational pieces. So if they feel that these young players, you know, like a Michael Penix, like a James Pearson, a Jalen Walker, that they need that introduction time in the preseason to continue to get acclimated, because they do have high hopes for these guys to contribute day one, you know, like right off the jump, then yeah, I could see them leaning towards having some of these young starters maybe get some run in the preseason. But it sounds like those decisions are still, you know, maybe a week away or so. But it is one thing I will be very curious to look for, is what is that preseason plan? And I expect we'll zero in on that a little bit this upcoming week.
Well, one of the things, obviously, what's the number one goal is to come out of the preseason, you know, healthy. And now we've already seen Mooney. Is there an update on Mooney's status here? Are they hopefully might be able to be available for the opener against Tampa?
The only thing they've really said is, you know, a few weeks. That they haven't kind of put a specific timeline on it. But if, you know, knowing how long training camp and preseason is, a few weeks, you know, that could line up for week one. I would imagine that we'll get some sort of an update, you know, maybe next week, maybe the week after. Like, we'll certainly ask about it, whether they provide an update or not, you know, is their call. But I do think that, you know, we spoke to Steve Wyche on the podcast for the Atlanta Falcons Podcast Network yesterday, and he, in his conversations with kind of the team, was like, I think Darnell Mooney is going to do some big things this year. So it sounds like they have high hopes for him. So whether it's week one, week two, week three, whenever it is, I think once he's in there, he's going to be good to go, and they're going to really use him like they did last year.
All right, let's talk a little bit, Will McFadden, senior editor of AtlantaFalcons.com, about a couple of areas of the team that I'm curious to get your thoughts on. One is the wide receiver core. We saw what Drake London was able to produce, and for that matter, what Kyle Pitts was able to produce in those final three games with Michael Penix. So you look at Drake, and you look at Mooney and Ray-Ray, and then the next kind of line down, even though DJ Chark has been a starter, but his pickup, and of course, you know, Kadarius Hodge, and is Pitts a hybrid guy? How do you kind of look at the wide receiver core of this team with Michael Penix? Do you think that they are going to be an explosive unit, or a unit that has to grow with a young quarterback, or are they going to be a problem for other teams?
I do think they are going to be an explosive unit. And, you know, I know as recently as this week, people were like, are they going to continue to add to the wide receiver core? The one piece I felt that if they were going to add, they would need would be that speed element. That is what DJ Chark brings. We've heard over the last couple of days that that was a move already in the works prior to the Darnell Mooney injury happening. So clearly they have a vision for how they can work in tandem. Maybe. But I think what's so interesting about this offense is that it was kind of built over the course of two very distinct and at times, I think, different offensive philosophies. So you do have some of these like move tight end elements. You've got two running backs, but you're in an offense that utilizes a lot of 11 personnel and specifically relies on kind of like two wide receivers, at least if we're using LA as an example. So you would have your Drake and Darnell there, but then it's like, what do you do with the tight end? What do you want to get Tyler and Bijan on the field at the same time? So how do you do that? So I don't think they need to have six wide receivers. They don't need to be the Green Bay Packers. It's more about having a very specific plan for the guys that are in there and then having the versatile elements around them. And those are guys like Drake and Bijan and Tyler and Kyle. So I like the recipe. I do think it puts a lot of emphasis on your offensive coordinator and your passing game coordinator and things like that to have a good plan in place. But I think they can work with this. And I do think this is a group. If Michael Penix can hit the deep shots, I think you will have an aired out element for sure here in Atlanta in 2025.
Yeah, and the ability of Michael Penix to have this offseason and this camp to really connect with these guys. And we saw it again in those final three games where they scored 96 points. And, you know, he's talking big about his connection with Drake, his connection with Kyle Pitts as well. So we'll see how that kind of all plays out, Will. So, Will, tell me a little bit about what you see from the defensive side of the football. Now, I know, look, all being said, we're not going to see anything in camp from Jeff Ulbrich, and we're not going to see anything in the preseason. And when you get to the game against Tampa, of course, you're playing Baker Mayfield, so you want to make sure you don't overcommit because he can burn you. But just generally, more aggressive on defense this year under Ulbrich than they were last year under Lake?
I do think you will see that. And the reason I say that is we spoke with Jeff Ulbrich today after practice for a little while, and he was, as he usually is, pretty open, pretty honest. There's not anything he's trying to hide from anybody. And he said, yeah, I like the game is designed almost to have the offense dictate the terms to the defense. And he was like, I try to just stay away from all that. And I want my guys to just like, we're attacking, we're doing what we're going to do. And he said, I kind of dialed down that read element of the defense, you know, like take a beat, see what's happening in front of you, and then go and attack. He's like, let's forget all that. Let's go attack. You know, be smart. Don't run yourself out of a play. But that is the mindset ultimately he wants people to have. And then the other element that really we saw come to fruition yesterday was kind of the ball hawking mentality, which was a big thing under Dan Quinn, you know, when he was here and Brick was part of that. But he said he's having a couple of moments with players where it's like they ran up and they'd kind of like make the thud tackle or be in that spot. And he was like, no, that's an opportunity. I want you to be punching that ball. I want you to be going for the ball every single opportunity you get. And we see Mike Hughes then respond with two punch outs the next day in practice. So his influence is definitely already taking effect. He was quick to remind us that, you know, even though this is year two of Raheem and you've got a lot of holdover in some of the staff who have even been here longer than that, it is, once again, kind of year one for the defense. They've got a lot of pieces they like. I think they really like Divine Diablo, who looked good out there today. You're going to see more attacking. I think you're going to see a little bit more simplicity, which fans might like to hear. You might just see the guys with their hand in the dirt going after the quarterback. But yeah, you'll feel it, and you may even see a little bit of it in preseason. It's not going to be complicated, but hopefully it's effective.
Will McFadden with John Fricke. We're talking about the Falcons. Will's the senior editor of AtlantaFalcons.com. You can go to AtlantaFalcons.com, get all the inside information on camp as the camp continues through the Tennessee is going to be in for the combined practices, the joint practices, and those are always highly, highly desirable to watch because they are padded and they're against somebody else. Well, I want to go to a question that I don't know that I've ever thought I'd ask in a Falcons in the 50-some-odd years of Falcons camps. Who's going to be the number three quarterback, and how important is it to have a number three quarterback just in case suddenly somebody gets injured and Kirk Cousins is gone?
Yeah, no, hey, I get exactly where your head is at, John, because like while they do have one of the most, in a weird way, like enviable quarterback situations, because very few, if any, teams have a backup quarterback the quality of Kirk Cousins. However, because of that, we understand then the value that he would pose to any other team or a situation to arise where they enter the quarterback market. So totally get where your head is at. Emory Jones was kind of not out there today. So Easton Stick, again, given that he has 4 years of experience in the league, and he, you know, was somebody who they brought over from LA. So there's kind of, I think, an element of the pass game nature that he may fit more of that Michael Penix mold than Kirk Cousins a little bit. Like Kirk is a kind of more of that veteran mold where it's short, quick passes, things like that. So Easton Stick has, to me, looked a little more in the vein of the Michael Penix. So he would probably be at this point in time the pick. But again, we're still a couple of weeks away from that first step chart coming out. And, you know, that'll tell us everything, I guess, we need to know.
Take a look at the division broadly. Step back for a second here. I know that we talked at length on my show yesterday about how the national media setting an over-under at 7.5 wins. And I asked the question, you know, what the hell am I missing? And we had big discussions about that yesterday. If you look at Tampa, which the national media continues to say is the favorite, and then they lump the Falcons in with the Panthers and the Swampers as, you know, bottom feeders in the NFL, which, again, what am I missing here? Is it a case where it's Tampa's to lose? Because last year, it wasn't Tampa didn't win the division. The Falcons lost it.
Yeah, it's I get where everybody's at with Tampa because kind of they are the king of the hill until they're not, right? Like they've won the division. I think it's 4 straight years. Obviously, you know, Super Bowl kind of in there with recent history. So yeah, like everybody's going to look at the consistency, the continuity they have, all of that. But you're right. I mean, Atlanta had every opportunity there going into that last week. If they had handled business, you know, against Carolina, like it still doesn't ultimately work out, but they were in that spot, right? So they just kind of need to figure out a way to get over that hump. And I am kind of bullish on the talent here. Like, I think that it's clear they beat Tampa twice. They beat them on the road in their home last year. So this group is as good. It kind of feels as though some of the various kind of like weird occurrences that popped up last year, if one of those goes a different way, you know, maybe you're looking at a playoff team in Raheem's first year, but if it goes a different way, maybe you're looking at that under 7, you know, total as well. So the NFL is such a crazy game. That's why we love it. On paper at this point, yeah, I think the Falcons are right up there with Tampa Bay. But the reason I think the national media kind of is lowering that number is simply the unknown at quarterback. And while the Falcons did score a lot of points last year with Michael Penix Jr., they were still 1-2. So that's where we could probably see some games where Michael Penix plays great, but the winning aspect is hard and nuanced and slippery in this league. So I think that's where there's a hesitation. But I've seen what I've seen from Michael Penix Jr. out here, and I've got a lot of confidence in what he brings. I know a lot of the players and coaches do too. So ultimately, we'll see who's right. And if he plays like we think that he can play and everybody kind of thinks he can, then the Falcons could easily, you know, I think, be right there with Tampa.
Well, yeah, they were 1-2. Of course, defense had a role in that and or lack thereof.
Fair. Yep.
So, you know, and the, you know, two times where they were lost in the back end late in the season against Minnesota and then against Carolina, where that's just so unacceptable as to be, you know, fireable offense. Well, as it turned out, it was a fireable offense for the defense coordinator. So this team, I think, will rise and fall on its defense. And the question I have is, as we go along here with Jeff Albrecht, have they made the changes on defense, adding in, I know they lost Grady, but adding in these, you know, they spent a lot of capital to get these two rookies in at edge. You know, do we see a rise of Zach Harrison and Ruka Roro, and we see Braylon Trice for the first time, and you mentioned Diablo getting more speed into the linebacking position, and you know, Mike Hughes, you've talked about. Do we see this defense take a step up, Will, or do you see this team on defense taking a big step up?
Yeah, Jeff or John, you're placing me on a precarious perch here, because I'm gonna kind of say that I think the defense will be the story of the 2025 season. You know, I know there's a lot of high hopes and expectations for the offense. They have a lot of high hopes and expectations for themselves, but I do just keep thinking in the back of my mind, like, what are the odds that it's week six and we're just like, man, this Falcons defense, we didn't see it coming. You know, so-and-so is really playing above their level, or it's all just kind of coalesced to be greater than the sum of its individual parts. I do kind of see a world where that ends up happening. So I'm kind of like playing my flag here. I think the defense is going to surprise a lot of people this year. Not saying that they're going to be, you know, the best in the league or anything like that, but I think you're going to see a few more like turnovers created. I do think you're going to see more pressure on the quarterback. I think you're going to see like some stretches of just three and out and a three and out. And it's like, wow, cool. Like they're imposing their will. So yeah, I'm bullish on the defense. I don't know if it'll be a big, big step forward, but I do think it'll be a noticeable step forward. And if that could be enough, again, if the offense maintains what they did with the three games under Michael Penix in year one, then yeah, that has all the makings to me of a successful season for Atlanta.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot. I got about 30 seconds. You got to pick one guy on offense and one guy in defense that's going to break out. I'll give you mine. So, you know, I think Pitts breaks out this year on offense. I think Zach Harrison breaks out on defense.
Ooh, love the Zach Harrison. Love the Zach Harrison pick. I'm going to say Xavier Watts on defense. No, actually, I'm going to say Divine Diablo. I think Xavier Watts is going to play well, but I got to love what Divine Diablo has brought. And then offensively is tougher, right? Because I think, but I'll say Darnell Mooney purely because I'm just so curious what Steve Weiss told me on the pod. I just want to see that come to fruition in year two, because I loved what he did in year one.
All right, Mooney and Diablo. I'm writing you down. Okay, gotcha. I gotcha, Will. Thanks.
Love it.
Thanks. Do appreciate all your time here and your insight. Will McFadden, AtlantaFalcons.com. Encourage all of you to follow Will on X and to go to AtlantaFalcons.com and check out the very latest on the team. Thanks, Will.
Of course. Anytime, John.